Welcome to the
Idiot
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. D4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 2 of E4 2026. I'm Tommy. Jamie's sitting over there. How you doing, man?
I'm a whole lot better than you, I think.
We're just talking about all kinds of fun things, including sick children and passing kidney stones. That's what my last couple of weeks have looked like. So
look, I am the guy in a wheelchair. I got cerebral palsy. My hands don't work. Can't walk, can't do anything, but I got nothing compared to this guy. I'm in really good shape compared to him.
It's been some time, so we are here. We are obviously a little bit behind schedule, as we told you we would be, so at least we gave you a heads up that was going to happen.
Hey, we're only 2 days behind what I said. I said Monday.
I know.
Wednesday.
All things considered, so, we're not doing too bad. So we are going to talk about all things that have been happening over the past several days, over the next probably few weeks. So just prepare yourselves. These shows will come out when they come out, but we're going to get to everything. But starting today on this show is going to be the Summer Game Fest main event, Jeff's live broadcast that is kind of the flagship thing now that E3 no longer exists of this time of year. But obviously, there's also been a Microsoft showcase. Nintendo had a direct. We've had PC Gaming Show and Future Game Show and Day of the Devs and Cozy Games and on and on and on. And so we've got lots that we will get caught up on.
And I've seen a good portion of them, but not all of them.
Yeah, not either at this point.
There's lots and lots and lots and lots of games.
Yes. Content is wonderful. And so we will get through it all. We are going to start, though, with the Summer Game Fest. We already did one show. We did Sony because they came out last week and already did something. So, but this one's going to be Summer Game Fest. So we will jump into that momentarily. Before we do, though, gotta mention just briefly playing a game worth talking about.
You
so we gotta talk
right.
about it for okay. just a second.
I'm so excited about this because I've not seen anything, because while I was out of town last week, which you knew, I was trying to make sure I stayed up on top of the Summer Game Fest stuff. And so all of my time has gone to that. But I so want to hear about this before I start watching you play it, because everything on the internet says you must have this. Like,
yeah,
this is a $70 purchase. And I'm sitting here going, okay, I understand it's a $70 purchase. What I want to know is, can I play it?
Yeah. So what we're talking about is 007, and so we'll get into it more here in just a second. It was a $70 purchase, so thank you, Patreon guys. A nice little opportunity to thank the Patreon supporters. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, Jordan, Gio, and Derek. Thank you all for your support, helping us buy games, including 007, which we're getting to play now. You need to watch it to get a sense of what you're going to be able to do with it. I think you'll be able to manage. There is some like driving elements, and so I don't know about those. I am just getting through the like initial training part of the game, because they like they prolong the kind of like getting you acclimated to everything in the game in a really cool story way. The way they're doing pacing in it is really cool. Like, I appreciate, like, it feels like it's moving, even though like it's kind of a slog at the beginning. It doesn't feel that way. Like, they did that well. All that to say, I think I've seen at this point, you know, a good chunk of the kind of elements of gameplay has been kind of introducing all the stuff, how you sneak, how combat works, your different kind of abilities, at least what you have at the beginning of the game. There's obviously more that will unlock throughout the game. But some of that stuff, again, there's some driving mechanics and that kind of stuff, and it introduces all those things. The kind of sneaking around gameplay and that kind of stuff, I think you can manage just fine. Like,
well,
it feels like a kind of stealth combat thing. It's not first person shooter, it's third person shooter, but like shooter mechanics are very shooter mechanic-y, but like the game, at least at first, it like encourages you not to shoot. But a lot of it is not even super action oriented. Like, it is very much a game of like exploring and finding, you know, kind of clues. And even like one of your abilities that you have is to like just confront people and lie to them about what you're doing there. And so if you get caught, you just bluff about like, oh yeah, I'm here because so-and-so like said I needed to come over here and do something. And they're like, oh, okay, go ahead. You know, like that kind of stuff. And so there's elements of like even that of getting around and that kind of stuff that you can get by with not having to resort to combat. And so, yeah, there's options and that makes it fun and engaging and interesting and yeah,
even the combat from what I've seen, because I have seen some reviews and I've heard some people talk about it. One thing that Jake Baladino said it is exactly what you just said, in that the way that they set up the pacing is amazing, because you don't really feel like you're doing anything except for getting immersed into the Bond world. It's not it's not like one of those things where it's like, okay, we got this beat and then we got that beat and now we're on to the, like, he was like, I spent hours just walking around the world just like looking at stuff, and they encourage you to do that, and it's really cool. And like that just, that like tickles my spidey sense. And what little bit of the combat that I have seen, I'm looking at it going, I think I can do that. It's Splinter Cell enough.
Yeah.
I feel like I can do that.
Yeah. That's a good kind of adjacent comp to it, I would say. Again, I don't know all of the mechanics that are going to be introduced. There are quick time events, but there is a thing right at the very beginning of the game
Turn
that asks
off.
Whether or not you want them on. And so that's easy enough to get around. So like it does have like at least some accessibility in mind in that way. So all that said, I will just to that pacing thing. That's one thing I so far really, really dig about this. It's so cinematic. Like it's very much conducted like a film, in that even some of the like gameplay elements are like montages, like during like the initial training sequence of stuff of just kind of learning the world. Like it feels like a montage, like you're watching, you know, like Rocky training for whatever, you know, but like you get that vibe, but you're playing it as opposed to it just being a cutscene. And it does a really good job of keeping you engaged while also making it incredibly cinematic. It jumps set pieces super quick. It's like, you know, fast forwards like 6 months into the future, like all this, like just stuff that like just keeps the pacing feeling good. And at first it could be a little bit jarring because it's just, again, presented differently than most games are. And so at first I was like, whoa, we're here now. Like that's different than what we were, but it feels natural. It doesn't make you like walk from point A to point B to trigger the next thing. Like it just jumps you into it. Like it just is like a hard cut and you're in the next part of the game, and it can be very jarring at first, but then I'm like, oh, that just feels good that I didn't have to like walk over here and go complete mission, you know, or something like that. Right. That like it just has a very natural kind of sense of, again, very cinematic sense of like transition and flow, and it's cool. Like it's a really cool way of playing a game.
Well, okay, I've seen enough that this is one of those purchases. Occasionally, you have a purchase in gaming that I feel like, from my perspective, I have to have a copy of this game to just support what they have done. Even if I get to 10 hours in and realize there's something that I can't get by, I feel like I need to support this because it's innovation in games. I've heard multiple places that it is by far the best Bond game that has ever been put out. And if you are a Bond fan at all, which I am, you're gonna love every inch of this thing. So that's kind of where I'm at, that even if I get to a point where it's like, oh crap, I gotta go watch it, at least I've given them money to say, hey, this is really this is cool.
For sure. Patrick Gibson, the guy who plays Bond in the game, also does a really good job. Like, it's, you know, like, it's young Bond, it's an origin story. And so it's different than like the Bond that we've seen in kind of films for so long. But like he does a really good job embodying the character, but in a different way than you're used to seeing him, and in more of a kind of raw, reckless kind of way, you know, of like mature Bond being real buttoned up and kind of knowing what he's doing and always having a plan. And this is kind of like a little bit more like figuring it out as he goes Bond. And like it's a cool kind of different vibe while still being very, very familiar. Like, they do a really good job of kind of melding those things together.
I get the impression that he's a way better looking and smarter version of Pete from Jackass. That just sort of happens, and he just kind of rolls with it. I love Pete. Don't think that I'm talking trash on Pete. I saw Pete's got a new commercial with the like Alexa or something, and he's like, maybe I should start going by Peter. I don't know if you've seen it. But it's just he's one of those dudes that has made a living out of being him, which I love. And this game sort of has that vibe that, like, yeah, he's reckless. And one thing that Jack Baladino said is that there's that section, and then you get further into the game and you get more of that refinement and more of the Bond stuff that we kind of know. And so they did a really good job of like balancing it.
Yeah. And that's where like the pacing element comes into play too, because you see that kind of maturation play out, you know, without it feeling as grudging as it could, you know. And so I'm still really early in the game, but I'm really digging it as one that, like, I'm like, oh, I need to get back to that because it's really fun.
Have you gotten the Q Lab yet?
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. That's a fun little element. Okay. That's that's one of my favorite parts I've played so far. You just kind of get to explore and mess with stuff, and it's very entertaining. It is that thing that we've been talking about for the past couple months of scratching an itch. Like, this is what I needed. I needed this game, and like it is right now taking over my gaming. Even though, like, there's a demo I'm going to play before we do the Nintendo show, because we need to talk about that on the Nintendo show.
Yes, we do.
Otherwise, this is going to take my attention, and I'm excited about that.
Well, let me just warn the Patreon guys: I'm going to spend more of your money because we have. Your money is there.
Yeah.
So you're going to purchase a copy of that for me on the PC. You plan on the PlayStation 5, which I think this is probably a better game for the PlayStation 5. I was talking to Duff the other day about various games, Death Stranding and some of that stuff, and how I think they would probably run better on a controller if you were able to play them that way. And he goes, well, I don't know. I play everything on mouse and keyboard, which I really appreciate. That's my question about this game, is that I think I can do it, and it appears like they geared it enough for mouse and keyboard that I can make it do what I want it to do.
Yeah,
but I won't know until I get a hold of it.
Right. So. Yeah, of course. That's always the thing. I can't speak anything to that because I am playing it on PlayStation and full just controller, obviously, at this point. It does feel really good. Like, it does play really nicely, which, again, has been a thing that I've missed recently because I've just been playing a lot of games that gameplay isn't, like, the thing about them. And there's always, like, little frustrating things. I have ran into a couple of bugs, like NPCs wigging out or, like, suddenly bouncing around or that kind of stuff. Like, stuff that I'm also not as accustomed to seeing in a big AAA title. But they haven't been anything that's been game-breaking or really really that immersion breaking, just like little, like, oh, that's funny. Like one of the like main characters, main NPCs, you're at a club scene and he was just like walking circles, like was just like walking in a big circle. I'm like, what are you doing, man? And he was like having a conversation, but just walking in. I'm like, that's not the animation they meant to have there. But little things like that, you know, it's not perfectly polished, but it's very, very well done. And again, any complaints I have at this point are
so
minor.
One more thing before we move on from that. Does playing this, because just a little bit that I watched of it, has brought something to my brain, and that is, does playing this make you want to play Hitman? Because in the last, you know, 2 weeks or whatever that this has been out, that I've been watching stuff, I'm like, dang, we never picked up the Hitman games that we really should have, because I'm pretty sure at least the latest couple are excellent.
Yeah, I played Hitman way back in the day and just kind of fell off the franchise, you know. It does and it doesn't in a way, you know, like it feels like it's enough. Like so much of the charm of this game is that it's Bond and just like having that world to lean on. Agent 47 never captured me. The gameplay was always excellent. Like the narrative of those games never really got me. And I think that was my barrier to keeping going with them. I mean, just from pure gameplay, like I would love to revisit them if I had time. It's just it's not high on my list, right? Like,
yeah,
it's not something that I need. Like the fact that IO Interactive has done something that meets me in a place where I'm like narrative and that gameplay, I'm good with that. It kind of takes care of that for me. Again, knowing that the Hitman games are great and wouldn't have any problem if I had all the time in the world of revisiting, but I don't have a huge need to yet.
Yeah. Well, and I think the thing about this, and I will pick this up here in the next couple of days, I can't believe I'm saying I'm picking up a new game because I have 40 games on my PC right. that I really need to play. But I'm excited to pick this one up because I feel like, and you may not have played enough of it to know yet, but I feel like this is going to have that woo thing. You know, yeah. Like where you get to a certain point or something blows up and you know, going 80 miles an hour down the highway where it's like, yeah, like that's what I get out of this. And I really want that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think it has that to it. Yeah. We'll talk about it more, obviously, because we're going to be playing it for a while, because we play every game for a long while.
Yeah.
It takes us a while to get through games. So that said, we do need to talk about Summer Game Fest. There's a lot to get through, because Jeff, as he does, brings tons and tons and tons of content to these things. And so we will go over as much as we can. We will probably skip a couple things, go over a couple things pretty quickly, but hit the highlights for sure. Big start, big end kind of thing. But before we get into all that, just as we do for these things, overall thoughts on the show?
I mean, like he does a great job. And there's some cool stuff. But there was a couple of places there where I was like, okay, did we really need to do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, I mean, like, I was thinking about it as I was watching it. You and I have talked about the weirdness of the Video Game Awards since the inception of this show. And I'm starting to think that some of the questionable things that happen during these shows are just Jeff. Like, yeah. That's part of his personality. It's part of his thing. Having the big name Japanese, insert big name Japanese guy come out and talk about something. Like, I think that's just his thing because he's a geek.
Yes.
And this is part of his signature for his show, whether or not it plays well on TV.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think there's a lot of that there.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. He has a formula that works well, and is also formulaic at this point. Like, I know exactly what I'm getting into Summer Game Fest. Like, I sit down, Jeff comes on and does the little welcome. I'm like, oh, yep, here we go. Like, I can kind of, like, piece this out, like, what's going to happen beat by beat throughout this with some awkward interactions. With, I don't think any puppets this time, was there?
There was a puppet.
There was the Cuphead puppet.
Yeah.
Was there a puppet on stage?
No, that was it. Yeah. The Cuphead one. I like that.
Oh,
that
I did
was
too.
Cool.
I dug that. So we'll talk about that here in just a second because it was pretty early on. But like, it's Jeff, and Jeff does his thing, and I'm okay with that. Like, that's kind of where I am with like a Jeff event at this point, is like, he knows how to show games. He is like earnest in his like giddiness about some of them. A lot of them are not for me. Some of them are. And that's also the beauty of the gaming industry. And like, it just isn't anything that blows my socks off at this point because we know what it is, but it's still fun.
Can I say this before I forget about it? That suit jacket is awesome. Like, I don't have any idea what the fabric is. I don't know what color that is, but it's fabulous.
It was very intentional. Like, he knew that would show up under the lights. Like, it had that. Yeah. Jeff. Thanks, Jeff cares about. So anyway, we'll get into the games and talk about what actually was shown during the event. I'll start with Resident Evil Veronica. So Code Veronica remake, a Resident Evil remake now is like set your clock to it twice a year kind of thing that we're going to see it. It's,
okay.
You know.
So,
cool, fine, whatever.
I played, this was back in the day when I played everything. And believe it or not, I beat a lot more games back in the day than I do now. Veronica was one of those. I played through that. I know that game. And before they even said what it was, I was like, this is called Veronica. I know what this is.
Yeah.
And so, am I excited about it? Yes. But the problem is that, and we're going to talk about this for the next 3 months, because I'm sure we'll still be doing E4 when when Gamescom in August, we'll still be doing this show. So for the next 3 months, we're going to talk about the fact that remakes are everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're everywhere. There are games that I saw over the last 5 days that I'm like, really? Did you really need to remake that?
Yeah. Like,
and so let me just finish this and then we can go further with it. I feel like some of the way that I feel about this is because I'm like, oh crap, it's another remake. Like, Code Veronica will be great. I'm going to rave about it, but it's that, oh, crap, it's another remake.
Yeah, this show starts and ends with a remake.
Yeah.
Like, the two big things of the Summer Game Fest show are remakes, and there's more in the middle. But, like, that is very, very much where we are in gaming right now. Nintendo showing massive remake, we'll talk about. Microsoft has a remake. Like, that is the thing in gaming. We've always talked about themes in the past of, like, the years that it was just every game
horror.
Is a zombie game.
Yeah.
Like, right now, we're very much into every game is a remake. Like, that. That's the era of like gaming that we're in. And there's good and bad to that. Final Fantasy has shown that it can be done incredibly well and bring you a new experience, even though you're playing something that's familiar. Resident Evil remakes have been massively successful. I understand why they're going to do them with every single game that they can. And they do a really good job with them. But there is something like you that I'm feeling like I want to see something completely new, or at least new from somebody I know. Like, where is a new, you know, insert with BioShock?
Yeah,
like, we could throw in a ton of different titles here, but like, even if it's familiar, give me something that's familiar and new as opposed to a remake. And then I say that, and now I personally, when we talked about this on the Sony show, I think the new God of War looks really cool.
Yeah,
but they did something different and new, and like, that was very polarizing. Like, they got a lot of pushback from not just doing the thing that is Kratos and what everybody kind of expects from God of War. And so I understand if you're one of these big companies with, you know, like bottom lines and want to get people excited, Capcom's going to go, hey, if we remake Code Veronica, people are going to eat it up. Everybody's going to be pumped. Nobody's going to say like bad stuff about that. We're going to sell a billion copies and we get to keep making money. Like that's obviously not the only reason, but that's their main reason for doing it. They're trying to make profit. Like that's a big thing. And they figured out this formula that works because people like things that are familiar. And like when you do something new, it entails risk. It doesn't always pay off. Lots and lots of examples of that. And so I get why people would be hesitant to do that. But man, I want some more of it. Like somebody take some risks. And there are some. We'll talk about some of those.
Yeah.
They're just not as like used to back in our day of E3, when E3 was a thing, right? Like big announcements were oftentimes a lot riskier than they are now. Like now the big announcements are like, everybody's going to love this with exceptions, but like that's oftentimes the, like if you do a Resident Evil remake, everybody's going to go excited about that. Like, and I get it. Like I am too. I think it's cool. I like the Resident Evil remakes, but like, I want to see more variety, more freshness, more new ideas. And that's a little bit
okay.
harder in the big scale things, even though it happens all the time in those medium and smaller developers.
So let's go macro on this for a little bit, because I watched the Nintendo yesterday. I watched the because it's Tuesday and they do their thing on Tuesday. That's what they do. And so I watched that because I thought we might record yesterday and I wanted to be prepared. And one thing I watched about 3/4 of the Treehouse Live that always happens after that. And I need to go back and finish it because they showed off Star Fox and they basically every big game that they talked about that y'all. And one thing that struck me was that the kids in the Treehouse, the Nintendo people that just look like they hang out all the time. Right. They're just such great friends, and they play co-op and they do all the things. Both of those teams of people had a person on them that is young enough that they said, I've never played this game until now. Like I don't know what this is my first experience. First of all, I don't think I would say that on the air if I was working for somebody, but at the same time, that right there is the reason that these companies are doing this, because these kids aren't going back and playing a 20-year-old game.
Right.
They're not going to go back and play Grand Theft Auto 3 because they'll just wait till it gets remade.
Yeah, like, for sure. And they would hate it if they went back and played it. Like, it works for us to go back and replay some things, even though I don't replay a lot of things because, like, they don't age well. The controls are bad. The graphics are bad. Like, compared to what we have today, like, I want modern experiences that bring nostalgia, and that's obviously what we're getting here. And then everybody knows that, and so they're capitalizing on it. And so it both appeals to new fans and gets us back into those things that, honestly, like, even if we did revisit, like, Nintendo's not making money off of me going back and playing Star Fox on the virtual console. Like, that's not a highly monetized position for them. But us playing a new Star Fox is, you know, and that's the same thing here. Like, just all these new games, even if you have access to them because you still own a copy or you can get them on some online service or whatever, like, that's not monetizing it in the way that these companies need these to be monetized. But if they remake them, they can. Again, there's a lot of cost that goes into that, but you get that payoff if you do it well. And Capcom does it quite well and has a very obvious formula about how to do this and executes well. So something that is kind of new, we already mentioned it a little bit, Cuphead. We are getting a new Cuphead game. Which we loved the first Cuphead.
Yes.
It was fantastic and super hard, but super fun. We're actually getting two new Cuphead games. Let me be specific here. The little teaser with the puppet was fun. Little news anchor puppet guy was cool. They didn't show really anything from Cuphead 2 other than saying it's coming. But they did announce another like a spinoff title called Mighty Cuphead Adventure, which is a platformer that reminded me just like vibes-wise of like Mario 2. Yep. Like, that's the, like, when I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's really weird in that Mario 2 weird kind of way, and I really dig it. But, like, with Cuphead characters and you know, cartoon graphics and, like, just, I was like, ah, yeah, yeah, that's something I want to play.
Yeah, I think Cuphead is what you were talking about the originality. It's that thing that I look at that and I'm like, yeah, I want more of this. I don't care that it's so hard that I can't physically play it. I don't care that I'll never touch it. That's why Tommy's sitting over there with the YouTube
yeah.
so that I can see these things. I just like that it's original.
Yeah.
And one of the games, I don't think it was shown, but I don't remember which direct thing it was that I saw it on, but one of the games that was mentioned was a game called Into the Unwell, which I've actually been playing because Sam hooked me up with that, and I'm not good at it. Like, anytime I sit down to play it, I get Peyton in here and, like, you know, put him in front of the keyboard and off we go.
Yeah.
And I like it because it's got that originality.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
And so that there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah. And that again goes back to that. We see that a lot more in those indie and mid-level developer spaces than in the top AAA kind of level. The creator behind Ico and The Last Guardian and
yep.
Shadow of the Colossus was there to show off his new game, which we had saw a little bit before, which was called Project Robot before, I think. It now has an official title, which is Gen Atlas. And it looks very much in keeping with that style of game. So if you like Shadow of the Colossus or Ico or The Last Guardian, like, feels like you're going to get more of that. But with, like, this robot, it's pretty, and it's got that kind of companion big character, like, thing to it, which looks very cool and kind of weird and trippy in the way that those games are, but in a way that we like. And so, again, it's both familiar and original at the same time. It kind of hits that sweet spot.
Yep.
This was a fun one. Jeff had Snoop Dogg come out to talk about Stranger Than Heaven, which is from the Yakuza Like a Dragon developer, like in that, I think, I don't know if it's in that universe. Those are games we've never played that people really, really dig and
yep.
seem like a big deal. Snoop Dogg came out and talked about it, but the teaser trailer had maybe even a bigger, like, shocking moment, which is Tupac is in the game, which is strange for a ton of reasons, but whatever. But having Snoop Dogg come out in 2026 and talk about how cool it is that Tupac is in a game like that's coming out this year, it was interesting. I don't know what to make of it. It doesn't necessarily make me want to play Stranger Than Heaven more, but it does make me want to see how it does.
Well, okay, here's my thing with Snoop Dogg. We talked about this a few months back, that Snoop's out there and he's just living his best life, doing his thing. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. In a way, like, you can't get away from the guy, which I love. And so when he came out, it was like, okay, yeah, it's Jeff. It's the Game Awards kind of a thing. And so, yeah, I'm not surprised that Snoop is here. What interested me that I don't understand why it happened the way it happened was they brought him out specifically to talk about the fact that Tupac was in the game, apparently because he deals with Tupac's estate in somewhere, something. Yeah. And then when it comes to the time to wrap it up, Jeff's like, well, what about you and Cordell? You got anything going with your stuff? And Snoop's like, it's still coming. And I'm like, why can't we get that guy out to talk about what they're actually working on?
I know. That was my exact thought, too. I'm interested in seeing what y'all studio is doing. And yeah, we don't know yet, but I'm sure we will. I like Snoop Dogg being at a Jeff Keighley event is like so obvious.
Like, well, I mean, it's like he's been there from day one, right?
Yeah.
So, like you sort of, it's like Jeff calls him, like, yo, Snoop, I got a new show coming up. Can you come? And he's there. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's just part of the crew. And
yeah. And so I bet at the Game Awards, we'll see something else. And so Snoop will probably show up at that point. So. Assassin's Creed Black Flag is getting its own remake, talking about remakes, which, again, if I had time, I would probably dig this. I never played the original Black Flag, which is one of the better Assassin's Creed games by all accounts. I played Assassin's Creed a lot. I've played several of the iterations. It is just a franchise that has gotten so... I don't want to say diluted because they're different enough, but just so constant that I just can't keep up with it. And this, I don't know if this, unless it's like, oh yeah, this is like the best remake ever, I probably won't touch it either. But for, you know, people who are fans of Assassin's Creed, probably pretty exciting.
Okay, so can we talk about that for just a quick second? Because you and I have been talking for the last couple months about being in the desert. And not really knowing why it is that way. And I think part of the reason why we feel that way at this point, and I was talking to Duff about this, is that there are just so many games to play. There is no way to keep up.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. We try as best as we can to keep up for the show and be relevant. And there's just no way to do it. Like, they just keep coming. And Black Flag is a great example of that. It's like, that looks really cool, pirate ships and all of that, but I have no chance to ever get around to that, ever.
Yeah. Yeah, right. 100%. And it's, again, where I'm really happy these games exist for the fans of these games that are going to be really excited about them. And also can say, but probably not my thing. And like, those two things can coexist, and that's okay. Like, it's perfectly fine for there to be games that are not my thing, that are somebody else's thing. And that's a game I think might be our thing. I'm really interested to see more of it because they didn't show us anything but a teaser. The Last Ronin. The, like, grown-up Ninja Turtles, which has always been kind of cool to me because, like, the Ninja Turtles started as, like, a pretty adult comic series and then turned into, like, the kitschy, like, kid show that I loved growing up and still adore today, and played the Shredder's Revenge with my daughter and had a great time. And you and I played a big chunk of Shredder's Revenge. And, like, all that stuff is fun. But, like, The Last Ronin, like, is like, oh, yeah, this is, like, you know, M-rated Ninja Turtles. And that also sounds very cool. I want to see how much they lean into that. I want to see if it's like something that's deep and interesting, and or if it's just going to feel like a little gimmicky.
I'm the opposite. I'm afraid of it because I think what it's going to be is the Ninja Turtles that we know with some blood.
Yeah,
like that.
That's what I don't want.
Like, I don't know.
Need something that is more fleshed out than that. If it is over the top, ridiculous, cowabunga dude, Ninja Turtles, like, you know, like, that doesn't feel good. But like, if they could pull this off, it would be really, really wonderful and could be a cool thing. So I need to see more of it before I make any kind of big declarations about it. But well, I like the idea of it. I appreciate them doing that and taking it that direction, which we don't see as often from the Ninja Turtles. Last Ronin stuff pops up every once in a while in different formats, so it's not unheard of. But, like, it's a fun, you know, kind of different way of approaching a franchise we know. There's a game called An Extremely Hard Game, an egg extremely hard game that looks fascinating to me. It's like you're playing as ducks trying to transport an egg across, like, all kinds of really difficult terrain. The physics game, like, lots of, like, having to navigate and not drop stuff, and your egg breaks and it's maybe your child. I don't know. It's very goofy and silly and dumb and looks really fun. And so that's one of the, like, Jeff shows oftentimes lean pretty heavily on the horror genre, and like all games do. There's just a lot of horror games. There's not as much like just like ridiculousness as there has been in the past in video games right now. And I just love a ridiculous game, and this just looks like a ridiculous game. An extremely hard, ridiculous game. But I really dug it.
Ridiculous games are kind of your jam, and I wanted to bring this up because they showed off Power Wash Simulator, because there's new stuff coming for Power Wash yes. Simulator. And I'm even watching it. I know that's one of your favorite games and one of the games that gets a good chunk of your time because it's always running. And I'm like, I should just say that I'm going to like spend $100 of the show's money and get Bond and get Power Wash Simulator, because I've not ever touched either one of them because it's your thing.
Yeah.
And I saw that and I was like, I think I'm going to have to like do it.
Yeah, I'm spending money on Game Pass. Go play it on Game Pass. I've never spent money on Power Wash Simulator. And yes, but to your point, it is ridiculous, and that's part of the charm of it for sure. What was it that was the new Power Wash Simulator content? Like you mentioned it, I'm like, oh man, I remember seeing that, but I don't remember.
There's some DLC coming out, I think, paid DLC.
It was something, we'll get to it. We'll talk about it soon, but you got it in my head now to try to remember what it was. Anyway, it was something, Star Wars. It was Star Wars themed stuff, like you washing off an X-Wing.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, I'll definitely play that because why not? It's absurd, and the absurdity is fun. Crossfire is back, but in a different way, which looks really... I don't know. I can't figure out what I think about Crossfire.
So this is a theme that I wanted to bring up because it's happened with all of these shows. I have seen some concepts that are really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. And Crossfire is a great example of that. I have no idea what it's going to be as a game.
Right.
It's probably going to totally and completely suck.
Yeah, very likely.
But I like the idea of the concept. Another one of these that will pop up that I'm not sure was in this show, but it was in the PC gaming show, is a game called War Dogs that is a different take on the PUBG kind of thing. I really dig the concept. I have no idea what the game's going to be like. And so for me, I've seen four or five concepts that I'm like, dude, that's really cool. I hope they do something cool with it. Crossfire is one of those concepts.
Yes. Yeah. It could be really, really great. And it could be kind of meh. But like... I don't know. I need to see more of it, but it's one that at least piqued my interest a little bit. We got more Control Resonant, which we talked about already. It looks great. I don't know that we need to say more about it. More Guild Wars coming, which was surprising to me that Guild Wars is still a thing, but talk about how it's going to revolutionize the MMORPG space, which, okay. But it's Guild Wars was always a big deal, so I get it. Star Wars, we mentioned Star Wars. Galactic Racer, if you want more pod racing. Not the Star Wars gaming I'm looking for.
Well, I'm sort of excited about the pod. Okay. I mean it's kinda, I'm not gonna be able to play it, but I'm sort of okay with
it. Did look like it has like a lot of narrative to it,
yeah.
Which was interesting. I don't know how much of that will actually be in the game. It's just a teaser trailer.
Here's the thing about Star Wars, because I went to see The Mandalorian last night.
Nice.
You know, $5 Tuesday in Amarillo, Texas. You can go to the movies for $5. So I go to see The Mandalorian last night. And Peyton, who is in the other room, his dad and I love Star Wars. We always have. And Peyton is not into the Star Wars. And so I said, we're going to see Star Wars. And he's like, I'll go because it's my job, whatever. Like, you're paying for my ticket, so it's all good. And so we get through The Mandalorian. And he goes, that was really cool. That's not like the regular Star Wars. And so I say all of that to say, I hear what you're saying about it not being what you wanted. My thing is, I don't necessarily know that I know what I want from Star Wars at this point. Do I want not the Old Republic? Do I want a third-person shooter that's Mandalorian with Grogu in there doing Grogu things?
Yeah.
Do I want a tactical game that because I saw a couple tactical games over the last couple days that I thought were really interesting. Like that, I think that's part of it, is that we, at least for me personally, I want some kind of Star Wars, but I'm not sure what it is that I want necessarily.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I just know that
it's
what
not
I
that.
Don't want is pod racing. Yeah, I was never like into the pod racing thing in the first place. Like even like when we were young and Episode One came out in our teenage years, my teenage year. I don't know how old you were when. Episode
yeah,
one
yeah,
came
I was there. Right there. Close.
Throw shade there, but you know, it just happens accidentally sometimes. Anyway, the pod racing thing was never my thing. You know, like that movie is great on other merits. And it has some really fun elements to it, like Darth Maul, fantastic.
Yeah,
pod racing, yeah, you know, like take it or leave it. And so it just hasn't been a part of Star Wars lore that has ever captured me in any kind of way, but you know, whatever, like make a pod racing game, knock yourself out. So Virtua Fighter showed up, not okay. On my bingo card.
Okay, so this is another one of those concepts. I have no idea what the game is gonna be. It's probably gonna suck. But it's a really cool concept idea to actually have some sort of story around Virtua Fighter.
Yeah.
That's another one of those. It's like, hey, it's a story-driven virtual, but I think I could get with this. And we're not talking like weird, like Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
You know.
That's the thing. Like that might be how you get me into a fighting game in 2026, right? Is that you give me some narrative that makes me care about what's going on and I can interact with the world other than just matches. And like, if they deliver on what it felt like they're trying to do there, maybe it's pretty interesting. If it's just like cutscenes in between matches, you know, it even if they're more less disjointed than something like Mortal Kombat is, still, like, I kind of go, eh. And it's another fighting game. But if you could do something with that genre that's different and feels new while also being familiar, maybe so. Maybe I can get behind that. But yeah, it was fascinating because I wasn't expecting it. Like Virtua Fighter, again, is something from our younger days. So it does have a definite nostalgia feel to it. It wasn't ever my like fighting game preference. Like I never got real heavy into Virtua Fighter, so it doesn't have as much nostalgia pull for me. But I totally get where it will for a lot of people. And so you can pull it off. That might be a big deal.
Yeah.
Street Fighter shows up too. Like Street Fighter's still a big deal. Again, that was much more my fighting game kind of thing. And I don't care about it anymore either. But like it still obviously has legs. Like it still is obviously a thing that people are playing and want to play more of.
And we're going to get to this by the end of the show, but Sega was everywhere.
Sega was like pretty prominent. Yeah, I hadn't really considered that, but you're right. Like, yeah, lots of Sega. Grounded 2 is coming. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but in 2026.
Well, it's out. This is more content for Grounded.
Right? Oh, was it? Yeah. Yes, that's right. Right.
Grounded's been out for like 8 months, and well, this is more content.
Yeah. Which is, again, kind of what it is. I did play the first one some, and it was fine. It was an interesting concept, and it was kind of fun for a little while, and I got bored with it and moved on pretty quickly. But like not a terrible idea and can be executed in a fun way. And so, not against Grounded. More content also for Mafia the Old Country, another game I would love to play.
That one I feel like that, like to me, that's above Hitman. Like that one would be interesting, I think.
Yeah, I do too. Just got to find time for it. I've played some of the Mafia games in the past and really enjoyed them. This kind of origin story Mafia like sounds cool. But again, finding that time is tough. So 1666 Amsterdam. Oh no, kind of cool vibey feel. I don't know that the gameplay is going to be anything.
Okay, so here's the thing. And here we'll talk about being old for a second, because there was several games over the last 4 or 5 days that I saw that I'm like, I know that's supposed to be cool, but I'm too old for that. And this is kind of one of those that I'm like, yeah, I don't really want to try and raise hell. Like raising hell to some extent, like I get that from Diablo, and I really don't want it anywhere else. You know what I'm saying? Like, does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I think my feeling about this game is just because I'm old. Like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
And you're back. Okay. That was fun. So my point to that is that I think I might be a little biased.
I think that's fair. Let me see. There was another puppet. Forgot about the Saw puppet.
Yeah.
So there's a Saw game, which I'm
again
interested.
Same thing. Like no.
But there was a puppet. So Jeff, keep it up with the puppets. That's at least something. Star Wars Zero Company, the tactics based Star Wars game.
Yep.
That's more our speed when it comes to Star Wars and gameplay. And again, I don't know that it's going to be any good. I can't get excited about a Star Wars game until like it's like, oh yeah, this is actually really fantastic. Like, there's just like, again, we're so saturated with Star Wars content at this point. Like, I need something that stands out. But it looks like it could. It looks like it could be really cool.
And that's a really great point, because even the Mandalorian last night, I'm watching it and I'm like, yeah, it's good. It's more Mandalorian. Why did I have to go to the movie theater to get this? Like,
yeah,
why couldn't they have done this across eight episodes instead of cramming it into like 2 hours? Yeah. Like, so yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the saturation.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Blood of the Dawnwalker vampire game that didn't really show any gameplay, so I'm not exactly sure what it does. I'm up for an interesting vampire game.
Yeah,
pull it off, but I don't know. New Monster Hunter Wilds expansion, which I know is a big deal to some people.
Cabbage!
New mission for 007. I mentioned that. They did show a new mission there with Lenny Kravitz coming back for that, which is great. Love Lenny Kravitz in a video game anytime you can get that. I'm just running through kind of Sonic Racing Cross Worlds. Mentioned Sega before. What else is in here? Clutch, which is...
Ooh, Clutch.
Story-based driving game sim thing that like is like F1
again,
that just came
concept.
Out. Like, yeah,
concept.
Like it's a driving game, but it's a story-based driving game, of which I'm going, hey, I don't play driving games all that often. I have Forza installed and I haven't even touched it yet, because I'm like, it's a driving game and I like driving games, but like I need to play all this other stuff. But if you give me like a story-based driving game, I'm like, oh, that's a little more interesting. I can kind of get behind that. So I'm interested to see what they do with it.
Okay, so you need to like force yourself to play Forza and find a way to stream it, because apparently that was the last 10 that IGN gave.
Oh yeah.
I watched the Bond review, and the guy that did the Bond review was the same guy that did the Forza review, and he gave it a 10. So
I believe it. They're always really good.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, getting to them. One announcement I know both of us are going to be, this is right in our wheelhouse. The Wolf Among Us 2.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for that. Wolf Among Us was so good. So the Wolf Among Us 2, give it to me whenever it's done. Like, there's a remaster of the original coming later this year, and then the new one's supposed to come out.
Okay.
Next year.
So
I don't care.
You are a rewatch guy on TV. Like, when the new season of stuff comes out, you rewatch.
Yeah.
So would you replay this to get ready for the Wolf Among Us 2? Because that was one of the remasters that I was like, Yeah, okay, maybe. Like,
my question with it is, why do we need a remaster?
Yeah!
Because, like, the biggest reason we do remasters is to update art style, right? And gameplay elements. But neither of those things in this game are a thing that need updated. Like, it's a comic book style, and it's a, like, exploration, adventure, quick time event, like, gameplay mechanism. Like, neither one of those things necessarily needs to be updated in any meaningful way, because the game, like, I would imagine the original game holds up just fine right now. Like,
yeah,
some higher resolution textures are cool, but, like, it's still comic book style. Like, I don't know what I'm getting from this remake. I haven't looked at for a side by side remaster. I'm gonna look and see really quick if I'm like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But I just, like, at this point, I'm kind of like, I'll replay it, but I have it on my Steam library. Maybe I'll just go replay the original.
So I think this is part of the reason that we feel the way that we do about the remix, because I agree 1,000%. To me, this is just like, yeah, we need more money. Like, yeah. give us 60 more bucks or whatever it is. I mean,
and if it's, you know, a thing where it's like getting new people engaged in the game, like, cool, like, I'm perfectly fine with that. I am literally scrolling through side by side comparisons of this. I could not tell you which one is which. There's a few places where, like, a character has slightly different clothes, or, like, the colors are a little more saturated. But, like, again, there's no reason. Like, you would never know which version you were playing if you didn't know you were playing the remaster. Like, there's just so little difference between, like, oh, man, that just cracks me up, having actually, like, seen a side-by-side comparison at this point. Like, some of them look better in the original. There's just, like, one here that there's, like, streetlights that are on in one version and not in the other version. That is the most ridiculous remaster I think I've ever seen in my life. Again, the reason to remaster it at this point is to get new people into it, I think, more than getting necessary. I mean, there's going to be plenty of people that will pay for it again, because it's a fabulous game. Like, it makes sense to go and pay for it again if you just want to support the dev and have a reason to replay it. But yeah, definitely not necessary. There's just no reason for that remaster. So anyway, that gets us to the other big announcement. Not really announcement. We knew this game was coming too, but we get Final Fantasy VII Revelation, which is coming in the spring, according to the trailer. I will expect to see it next fall, which will be perfectly fine. You don't have to rush this, guys. We got, you know, again, I don't know there's a lot that we need to talk about with it, because we've already had two of these games. We know what it is. But it's going to completely own us. Like, I'm super stoked about it.
That was the only question that I had, was that we talked about when we finished the last part, how it went on forever, but we played every ounce of it because of what it is.
Yeah.
So the only question I have for you, we don't need to talk about characters or gameplay or any of that. The only question I have for you is, are you ready to go back and spend another 100 hours?
Yes. I mean, of anything I've seen so far at, you know, any of the Summer Game Fest events or whatever, this is the thing that I'm most going to enjoy, I'm pretty sure. You know, like, Wolverine is going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to that a ton. Tons of, you know, like, we've got a billion other games in here that we're excited about. But, like, Final Fantasy is just our sweet spot. And
yep.
And the first two games of this remake trilogy have been so fantastic. Like, again, like, you could just, like, put Final Fantasy VII, here's our release window, parentheses, probably will come out 6 months after that. I went, yep, cool, perfect. Like, that's the game I'm looking forward to. Like, I just don't need it. But that said, they did show us, you know, new kind of trailer and then some gameplay and all that kind of stuff. And it all just looks fabulous. Like, I don't know what to say other than it just looks great. Like, I don't...
I feel like... And this is the exact opposite of what we just talked about. This remake, because that's what it is. It's not a remaster. It's a remake.
And a true remake.
Yeah, like, it's a true remake. Doing,
yeah.
This is something that when we're 80 and we want to pull something out and show our grandkids and say, look at this. This is that thing, right? That's what makes it special. Because, yeah, we played this when we were your age, And then it came out when we were older, and this is way better than what we played back in the day. Like, I really do. I think this is going to be the one that we pull it out in 30 years and like, hey, look at this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. And just give it to me when it's ready. That's the, like, don't rush it. We don't need to hurry. Oh, I'm going to be here waiting for it. When you get it, like, give it to me when it's ready. We've got plenty of other games to play before then. And when it comes out, it will take over everything. And so give me some time to get through Grand Theft Auto, you know, or whatever else. Because, the reason I haven't played through Spider-Man 2 yet, which I still want to do, and I pick it up every once in a while,
it's
and
excellent.
Play a mission or two. But the reason I haven't played through it is because Final Fantasy VII came out, you know, a month later or whatever it was. Like, we started Spider-Man 2, and then Final Fantasy hit. And it was like, sorry, Spider-Man, got to go, you know, and just haven't got back to it. And that's what will happen, and I'm okay with that. Perfectly yeah. fine. So that was Summer Game Fest, Jeff's event. There are games in there we skipped over, obviously, and so if we didn't talk about your favorite game or something you're excited about, let us know. You can do that at the email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com, or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210. It still works. Yes. Send us a voicemail.
As always, tons and tons and tons of good discussion about all of these different events going on over at the Discord. So join us over there. Tell us what games that we didn't talk about that you love and think we should talk about or care about more, whatever it is. Discord's a great place to do that.
The guys over there are much less crabby than we are.
This is true. Yeah, most of the time. Sometimes they're pretty crabby, too, which, I mean, makes sense. we find our own. But, yes, join us over there for sure.
It's a lot of fun over there. We got a lot of stuff going on. We got a lot of stuff still to cover, and I got to give those guys credit. They are on top of it. They're paying attention. Everybody's got their takes over there. I've got, there's some things over there that I'm not totally sure I agree with. and so that's going to be really interesting. Definitely go check that out. And we have no idea when we're going to be back. We'll be back. We just don't know when it'll be. We're dealing with kids and all the things. And so we'll get back when we get back. But it won't be too long because we've got so much stuff to cover.
Yes.
And one thing I will say real quick before we wrap, overall, I'm glad to be back here. Even though I don't have the feeling that I want to have this time of year.
Sure.
I'm not there yet. I'm so glad to be back here.
Yes.
I'm so glad that there's so much content that we can't watch it all and new stuff and new devs. I clicked onto a showcase thinking I was watching an indie game showcase. No, it was a showcase of games from India. That's where we're at. Like, we got a showcase of games from India, we got a showcase of games from Germany. Like, it's great.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad we're here. So I'm glad you guys are hanging out with us. And it may take us the rest of our lives to get through all the content, but we'll be here.
Yes, we're gonna get through it.
For now, though, we are done. You've been listening to The Idiots Explaining Entertainment, and it's an extravaganza only on GamingUncensored.com, and we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.